So I'm speaking today, and this was kind of short notice because Walt asked me last week if I'd be able to do it. I said, as long as I can find somebody for worship, which I did. Thank you, Joe. Where you're at. So thank you so much for doing that. There he is. And Andy. Is Andy still here? Yeah, Andy played bass first time in like forever. So nice job. But I was a little busy last weekend. So generally when I preach, like we have a schedule where, you know, we get together and these are the dates. But things happen. I mean, things pop up. So I like to know ahead of time so that I can like start planning, praying, thinking. And you know, I didn't have a chance to do that, not even through the weekend, because Dean Al was, it took a lot. And then I took off Monday. Yeah. So Tuesday, I really started thinking, okay, what, oh my goodness, where am I going? So Walt has told me since I started preaching, he said, you always have to have that one sermon in your back pocket, ready, prepared, ready to go, and it's in a moment's notice. I don't have that message. So, lesson learned, I guess. So, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Proverbs. Because I love Proverbs. Yeah. Yeah, I love that you're clapping. So, we're going to see here. So, anyways, Proverbs, I spoke in October a little bit about Proverbs. We talked about fear of the Lord, a couple of different things. And really, for like a year and a half, God has really been like speaking to me, talking about Proverbs and Proverbs and Proverbs. So this entire year, since September, the youth have been going through the book of Proverbs. And it's phenomenal. It really is. Because the purpose of Proverbs, well, you know what? Where can we find the purpose of Proverbs? In Proverbs. That's right, we can find the purpose. Matter of fact, it's in the first four verses. So I'm just going to go ahead and read that real quick. We'll get that. So we know what the purpose of Proverbs is, okay? First, I'm just going to read four verses. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. There you go. First four verses, it tells you what they're for. And honestly, who needs that more than teenagers, right? Yeah. So we've been doing this all year, since September. And we've had two memory verses. So listen, we've been reviewing Proverbs. Our Dean Alvin was all about Proverbs. And honestly, some of you are probably getting pretty sick of me talking about Proverbs. I mean, I understand that. But I'm not going to stop. Because we just heard what the purpose of them are. And if we think about it, the Proverbs enable us to make wise decisions. At least they enable us the knowledge to be able to make a wise decision, right? Now, whether we actually make the right decision is on us. I mean, wisdom is knowledge in action. So we can know what to do, but we have to do it in order to be wise, right? Well, the Proverbs helps us to do that. Great book. And so what I challenge people to do, I challenge the youth, I've challenged people over the last year and a half to read Proverbs. And there's a very specific way to read Proverbs. Does anybody know how? That's right. So there's 31 Proverbs. So every day, you read that chapter for whatever day it is. So today, what would we read? Proverbs what? 10. That's right. What about yesterday? 9. What about tomorrow? Okay, I think you guys get it. Some people back here are like, wait a minute. So whatever day it is, today's the 10th, you would read Proverbs chapter 10. It's really simple. So I had a guy tell me, it's one of our youth leaders, when we started doing this at the beginning of the year, he says, all right, I read all the Proverbs, what next? I said, read it again. I said, start over. And he's like, okay. Now here, there's a lot of benefit to doing this. Listen, you can read it one time, and that's phenomenal. That's great that you guys do that. It's great that you read the Bible. It's great that you read Proverbs once. But JB made a really good point over the weekend, and he said, in order to get good at something, you have to practice it. And you have to do it over and over and over. You have to repeat it. So we had a youth last weekend memorize Proverbs, I'm not going to ask them to do it. Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. Okay? Just out of nowhere. She just decided to do it. And she did it. So I was saying, she did it. You know, she came up, she told me the verses. I'm following along in the Bible. I'm like, wow. And I said, how'd you do that? She said, I've been trying to learn the book of Colossians. Colossians? I'm like, a whole book? Crazy. It's really hard. And she said, so I've been practicing memorization already, doing it, and it made it easier to actually learn these verses like that. And I was like, yes, that's exactly the point JB was making. We have to keep doing, we have to keep practicing. And tremendous things come when that happens. So my favorite verse to yank out of context in the Bible is gray hair is a crown of splendor gained by the righteous. Who have I said that to in this room? A couple people. You got some work to do, but you're getting there, you know. A couple gray hairs here and there. That's like my favorite verse to just, you know, yank out of the Bible when somebody's talking to me, complaining about their gray hair or talking about mine. And I say, hey, hold on. I say, gray hair is a crown of splendor gained by the righteous. That's in the book. Because it is. It's in the Bible. And I've known that for years. Believe me, because I've been gray for years. So when I heard that, I claim that. Okay? So I started reading these Proverbs over and over and over, and I discovered that verse is in Proverbs. Oh, sweet. It's in Proverbs. And then I kept reading these chapters over and over and over again. I discovered that verse is in chapter 16. And it's verse 31. So, gray hair is a crown of splendor gained by the righteous. It's in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. I know that because I've been reading it over and over. It did just happen. But I've noticed it. I read it, and I just start to remember. And it's tremendous when you can do that. Now, it's not tremendous when you yank it out of context and use it, unless you're me. And then you can do that. No. But my point is, by doing it over and over and over, we can begin to realize where things are in the Bible. Not just the truth that we're reading, and we can say, hey, that's in the Bible somewhere, but then we can point others to it if we repetitively do it. And Proverbs is a great book to do that with, and it's so easy. It's so easy. Today we read Proverbs 10. It's just how you do it. So I was talking to somebody, actually they sent me a message, and they said, hey, I love it whenever God's Word confirms a decision I just made. I was like, man, that is great. I said, there's no better place to find confirmation than His Word. I mean, that's a fact. Now, we can get confirmation from other people, but we're reading His Word, and He confirms it through His Word. That's awesome, right? There's no better place. So then a couple days later, we're talking, and he says, hey, I was reading Proverbs 6 the other day, on the 6th, and I came to your verse talking about you sluggard, you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? Yeah. And he thought of me, and he's like, I was going to message you, but I didn't. And I was like, thanks. Because that's kind of like calling me a sluggard. But sometimes I am. So then he says, it was just a couple verses later where God confirmed my decision. Oh, I was so excited. Because I'm like, no way. I said, so you were reading Proverbs 6 on the 6th, and that's where you got your confirmation. He's like, yeah. I was like, yes. Like he's doing that. And he got confirmation from the book, from the Word. I mean, that can happen for us. I mean, I can't imagine a better feeling than doing something like that and getting that confirmation. You already made the decision. So it's like you're going to get confirmation one way or the other. And Proverbs is going to tell you good, evil, wicked, godly. Yeah, so you're going to know the decision you made, whether it was right or wrong. So he did that. And that got me really excited. Because here's somebody who's actually taking advice that I've given. Not that I've come up with it. I'm sure other people have come up with this. I've probably even heard it somewhere. But he's actually doing it. And in order to get that confirmation, we have to be reading the Bible. I mean, Proverbs isn't the only place. But it really, really, really kind of bolstered up my point of we should be reading Proverbs. I say this to people, and I feel like some people, I get a little pushback, like they don't really want to read it. Listen. You might have a plan where you're reading the Bible every day, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 10 today because it's the 10th. It took me like 2 minutes and 98 seconds first service because I timed it. I would time it off. That's like 15 seconds and that's better than it was this week. So that's my personal best for reading Proverbs 10. So if you have a reading plan, add this to it. If you don't read the Bible start here. Start. It's so simple to remember. Like sometimes you think, what am I going to read today? What am I going to read tomorrow? I'm done this. Where am I going to go now? If you're in that spot, just read Proverbs. Tomorrow read the 11, or chapter 11. Okay? Add to it. Don't replace it. And then if you start doing that, start adding to that with other scripture. All right? But as a church, as a youth group, as a church, as a whole, let's really dig in the rest of the year to these Proverbs and decide we're going to do that and see what happens. I bet you we make better decisions. I bet you we do. If nothing else, people are going to tell us we're making stupid decisions because they're going to know. they're going to hold us accountable, right? All right. Another cool thing is I talked to two people last week. One of them was Preston, and he started talking about the borrower is slave to the lender because he read it in Proverbs. So I know he's doing it. Yeah, you like that one. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff in Proverbs. And then Esther was saying, hey, I was reading, I think she said she read 7, 8, and 9, and she got to a verse, she's like, this is really familiar. She's like, oh, it's the memory verse. It was 9, 10. I'm like, this is great. People are actually doing this. So I encourage you guys, I challenge you to please do this. And this is a much different sermon for me. Because have you ever had somebody tell you to do something and you're just not quite sure how to implement it? It's like a little bit hazy, like, yeah, I kind of get what he's saying. So I find that a lot of times if somebody walks me through it, then that's really helpful, and then I can do it myself most of the time. So what we're going to do today is we are going to read Proverbs chapter 10, and we're going to do a couple things with it so that you guys can take this home and you can do it yourselves. So you can go ahead and flip to Proverbs chapter 10. I am using the New Living Translation. You can use whatever you want. Oh, this is another great thing. I'm going to start this next month. When I start Proverbs over again, I'm going to start using a different translation each month. Yeah. So I usually use NIV, and then I use other ones and kind of cross-reference, but next month, I'm strictly going to use like English Standard Version or King James Version, something I normally don't read, because listen, all the translations are trying to say the same thing. So you might be able to gain something from a different translation that you didn't from another one. Okay? So that's one thing you can try. If you just don't want to keep reading the exact same thing, it'll be the same thing, just worded a little bit different. And then I want you to get a pencil or a pen right now, or a highlighter. Don't get up. Just have it with you, hopefully, or somebody beside you might. Go ahead and grab it because you're going to need it, because I'm walking you through how to do this tomorrow. All right? So I started doing something phenomenal. I started on my phone. I don't like using my phone to read the Bible. I don't know. It's weird. I like to have a physical copy here in front of me. So I asked Sarah one day, I said, man, do we have any colored highlighters? And we do downstairs. So I stole them. No, I didn't steal them. They're for us, I think. So I got them and I'm missing the blue one. It's down on my desk. And what I started doing is I wanted to look smarter and more holy. So I started using different color highlighters to highlight stuff. And I'm like, when people see my Bible, they're going to be like, man, this guy is really serious. So, you know, what you want to do is just kind of randomly open and then take a highlighter and just highlight something. And I suggest you do it in the Old Testament because most people don't read the Old Testament. And then people are going to think, wow, he reads the Old Testament. So, obviously that's only 90% right. No, seriously. So what I started doing, I've been doing this over and over and over. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time, reading these verses. And I'm using these verses because that's God has given me that responsibility to teach others. So I've been teaching, and I don't want to teach the same thing over and over and over, or I want to remember what I taught. So what I started doing, I kind of consider blue the Strive color. Strive is our youth group, for those of you who don't know. So what I started doing is highlighting in blue the verse, see the one I have there in yellow? I don't know if you can see that. I started with yellow before the magnificent colored highlighters, and then I took the blue around it so I know that was it. But anyways, I've highlighted in blue the ones that we've talked about in Strive. So I know that we've covered that. So when a youth comes to me and says, I don't know what to do, and I can say, we talked about that. As a matter of fact, it's highlighted in blue right here. We talked, remember? You know. So that's what I started doing with that. So then if you look at today's, it's green, because green is like Crossroads colors. So when I speak to you guys, I start using a green highlighter, and I highlight all the green stuff so I can remember, you know, I've talked about this in church. And then the best color is orange. Does anybody know why I like orange? Steel orange. Yeah, steel orange. It's the best color there is. So I use that for my personal verses, which you guys are going to do right now. You're not going to use steel orange. That's mine. But so if I'm reading and something pops out to me and I'm like, this is for me today, I'll use my steel orange highlighter. And if you look here, this is the first one I did. It's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Does anybody know what that says? Yeah, gray hair. Okay, good. Good enough. I just want to see if you guys were listening. That's right. So that's the first one I did. And I just started using that one last week. However, I did do this morning because I thought I'm asking you guys to do it. I'm going to do it as well. Is it really? With a question? They don't make camo highlighters. I can't. There's nothing I can do. Okay. What? Oh, how do you get it off? I don't know. I don't know how you get it off. I know if you touch it, you can add it a color, but I don't know how to get it off. Yeah, somebody can help you with that, like Mikey, Andy, somebody that knows more about phones. Hey, Smones. So you guys are all here, which is really good. Did anybody use a phone for their alarm clock this morning? Did it automatically change the time? All right, so check this out. Who noticed this? So last night, I set my alarm for an hour earlier, right? So I set it. No, this is a good thing. I set it, and then it tells me how much time I have to sleep or how long till the alarm goes off. You know it factored in the time change? I couldn't believe it. It factored it in. I'm like, that's not right. I know that's not right. It's missing an hour. And no, it already factored it in. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So it's smarter than I am by far. Smart. All right. So we're almost here. We're almost to the text. A couple more things I want to tell you guys. And this one's mainly for the men. Because I believe, and the Bible teaches, that men are to be the spiritual leaders of their household. That's just the way it is. So, obviously not every household has a man. So I say mostly for men. But here's the thing. We should be leading family devotions. All right? We should be. I'm terrible at it. I get it once in a while, you know. But I found a fabulous way to do this. It doesn't require a special book. It doesn't require special preparation or anything like that. So here it is, guys. All right? I want you guys to implement this week. All right? First off, you have to find a time or how many days you're going to sit at your table for dinner. It might be 2 days, one day, might be 4 days, might be 5 days. Don't pick like 5 days and knowing that you're going to fail, okay? If you know you can do 2 days, say, okay, 2 days, we're going to sit at the table, we're going to eat dinner, okay? After you've decided that, you're going to take the book of Proverbs in the morning or at some point, and you're going to read it, because that's what I'm asking you guys to do, and you're going to take a verse, and you're going to underline it or highlight it that you can talk about to your family. It's really simple. Listen, I got kids from the age of 3 all the way to 10, and it's so easy. Just pick one of the verses you think they can comprehend, and then you talk about it at the dinner table. It takes a couple minutes. That's it. You can put it in words that they're going to understand, the RB3 translation, that's mine, so that they can understand what's being said. It doesn't take much effort or time. It's simple. So try to make a decision. You're going to do it for 2 days this week. I promise. You're going to get some great conversation from your kids. You may be challenged just a smidge, but they're kids. So you can just tell them to, hey, be quiet, you know, and put them in their place till you figure it out. Sometimes that has to happen. Hey, that's a good website. Great website. Yep. All right. So here we go. We're going to read chapter 10. And as we're reading, if there's a verse that stands out to you, just highlight it, underline it, write it down somewhere. But if you highlight it, people are going to think you're really holy. All right, so here we go. Proverbs 10. Oh, wait. That's why I have my phone up here. Let's see if I can beat my best time. All right, you ready? Here we go. All right. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise child brings joy to a father. A foolish child brings grief to a mother. Tainted wealth has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. The Lord will not let the godly go hungry, but He refuses to satisfy the cravings of the wicked. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. The godly are showered with blessings. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. We have happy memories of the godly, but the name of a wicked person rots away. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will be exposed. People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. Wise words come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. The wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. People who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible. The fears of the wicked will be fulfilled. The hopes of the godly will be granted. When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked will come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to those with integrity, but it destroys the wicked. The godly will never be disturbed, but the wicked will be removed from the land. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. 3:07. 3 minutes and 7 seconds. And I'm an average reader. 3 minutes. We just read a whole chapter in the Bible. A chapter that can enable us to do what is right, just, and fair. A chapter that helps us to live disciplined lives. Because that's what it says. 3 minutes. Every person in this room can give up 3 minutes. I promise. If you think you can't, you're wrong. Just the way it is. Now, it might take just a little bit longer if you're really going to try to get something out of it. You can get something out by just reading it. But who highlighted or underlined or wrote down a verse? Anybody? A couple people did. Joel, when I read it, I thought about the employer thing, about lazy people irritate their employers. And I thought, man, I bet you Joel has to deal with that sometimes. And then I read short, something about short. And I kind of got a little squirrel thinking about Esther. But my verse, so I did this morning, and the verse that stuck out to me was verse 12. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. So the reason, there's a specific reason that sticks out to me because of a situation that's happening. And it reminds me that the people that love me, even when I mess up, if they really love me unconditionally, they're going to forgive me. And man, that makes me feel good. You ever get to the point where you think, man, I don't know if I can come back from this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to restore this relationship. Listen, if somebody truly loves you unconditionally, the way they should, the way God tells us to love, then any relationship can be mended. Any relationship can be reconciled. And I was reminded of that. And I was also reminded that when I love people, the people that I love, I need to love in a godly way. So when they irritate me, I'm going to forgive them. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way we love. That's the way we're supposed to love. So it also made me think of 1 Corinthians, the wedding verse. Hey! Chapter 13. Every time I think of marriage or wedding, I think of them. Chapter 13. And it talks about, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love endures, covers up offenses. Not offenses, I'm using the wrong word there, I think. But you get the point. It talks about love. And it confirms what's being said here in Proverbs. So something to keep in mind. Proverbs are what? Principles. Proverbs are principles to live by. They are not promises. However, yes, thank you. She's learning. Some of them are. Oh man, how do we figure that out? If it's talked about elsewhere in Scripture. In other words, if what's said in a proverb is confirmed elsewhere in Scripture, it's a promise. And that's exactly what happens with this verse in 1 Corinthians, or with this verse, which is Proverbs 10, 12, is confirmed in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13. So that's a promise. At least the second part of it. Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. All right, so what you want to do with the verse you highlighted, underlined, wrote down, whatever, you want to take that for the rest of the day and you want to think about it. Meditate on it. You want to consider it. In situations that you're in, you want to think about that verse. That's what you want to do. It's easy. It takes 3 minutes to read the chapter. You have a verse for the rest of the day and you can apply God's word to your life. It's that simple. If you have a reading plan, add this to it. I promise it will impact the way we live, the choices we make. So that's the main thing I want to talk about today. And luckily for you, I like to talk and preach. So if you didn't highlight a verse or something, I'm going to show you some other things you can do with that chapter. Because when I mentioned the scripture reference for this week in a staff meeting, I said it's Proverbs chapter 10. Walt kind of looked at me. He's like, okay, that's interesting. And the reason he said that is because if you notice, there's really no flow for how these things are put in there. Let's look at verse 1. A wise child brings joy to a father, a foolish child brings grief to a mother. Okay, got it. Wise child, foolish child, grief, parents, got it. Verse 2, tainted wealth has no lasting value but right living can save your life. Nothing to do with parents. Okay, what? Verse 3, so they're talking about money and wealth there. Lasting value. Verse 3, the Lord will not let the godly go hungry. Now he's talking about food. But he refuses to satisfy the cravings of the wicked. So the thing about this is it can be tricky to read because we always preach context, context, context. You got to read the verses around it to get the context of what's being said. Listen, that ain't going to help you much in Proverbs. Especially 10 through 15. Those chapters, yeah, ain't going to help you a whole lot. So the context is you have to remember Solomon wrote it. He wrote most of the Proverbs, not all of them. And I really like what JB said about this. By the way, you guys gave some great answers at DNow for when he said, what is Proverbs? And he said it in a way that I never really thought about actually saying this out loud. I knew it, but I never really thought too much about it. He said basically, it's basic form, it's a letter from a father to a son. I was like, oh, that kind of helps put it in context a little bit. Especially those weird, which I always think about this when I'm reading them, that the youth are probably reading these, the weird chapters about the promiscuous woman, the immoral women and stuff. And I'm like, you know, they have to read this. They have to know about it. But whenever I put that in the context of, wait, this is a father writing to a son, I can understand why now that they hold a little more significance. Because I want my kids to know. You know, I want my boys to know. And women, you got to know how not to be, you know? So there's that. We have to keep that in mind. You have to keep in mind their principles, and you have to keep in mind their purpose, which you can read in the first four verses. So other than that, you can't really read around the verses a lot to get the context. So the nice thing is you can pull one verse out, and it can speak to you. You can use that, all right? So maybe if you didn't do that, so we talk about that in youth. That's how we do it. There's a verse we'll talk about. Or there may be a theme in that particular chapter. And I found a theme in this one that we're going to discuss here for the rest of the time. All right? I'm going to read the verses, and you guys then are going to tell me what we're going to talk about. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to read verse 6. The godly are showered with blessings. All right, there it is. Prosperity gospel. Here we go. If you... No. All right. The godly are showered with blessings. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. 11. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. 13 and 14. Wise words come from the lips of people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. 19 through 21. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. The heart of a fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. 31 and 32. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Does anybody want to guess what were, Abby? Words. Things that come out of our mouth. Oh boy. Get ready. I can already feel people getting a little uncomfortable. Makes me uncomfortable. This chapter, 9 of the 32 verses, actually, there's another one, because when I read it, I missed, there's actually 8. There's 10 verses, because I missed verse 8. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. So there's about a third of this chapter talks about things that we say. And this is chapter 10. We did this in youth. It was chapter 15. It had 7 verses that talked about things that come out of our mouth, things that we say, the words that we use. So Proverbs has a lot to say about what we say. And it's not just Proverbs. There's a lot in the entire Bible that talks about things we say. A lot of times we concentrate on our actions, the things that we do. That's what we really push, right? When I'm up here, that's generally what I'm pushing. Hey, we got to act. But listen, the things that we say can very quickly disqualify us, you know, disqualify our actions and vice versa. So listen, our actions and our words, the things we say, should match up. When they don't, there's an issue. Not just with us, but there's an issue with our witness. Because if people aren't seeing what we say, they're going to be like, "What? Are you even a Christian? Who's this God? I don't even understand. You're doing one thing, you say another, what's happening?" So things that we say, they can do two things. They can do more than two, but I chose these two. They can hurt or they can heal. Words that we use. They can hurt or heal. I needed H words, so I just used those words. It does a lot more than that, but they can hurt or they can heal. And based on where you're at in your spiritual walk is going to determine whether your words are hurting or healing. Okay? So Proverbs is all about pitting one thing against another, and most of it's godly against wickedness. The godly and the wicked. And so we see some traits or some characteristics of godly through just in chapter 10, I picked these out. Another thing you can do if you're reading it and you notice these things, just jot them down, look at them, think about them. You know, there's so much you can do with one chapter in the Bible. So I wrote these things down. Godly traits, characteristics, or synonyms. We have the godly people are wise, they have integrity, they're understanding, they're disciplined, and they're sensible. I want to be on that list, right? I think we all do. And then wicked. All right, these are the things that I pulled out that are synonyms or traits of wicked. They're foolish, they're lazy, crooked, they're senseless, ignorant, and liars. Oof, I don't want to be on that list. Got a list here, got a list there, and it seems like I find myself right about here. And you know how we determine that? By the things that we say. By the things that we say. I mean, you can sit there right now. I can see in people's eyes, they're sitting there thinking, what have I said lately? What did I say before I came to church? Yeah, anyways. All of us can sit here and think about what we said yesterday or last night. And then we come into this place, and we say things maybe a little bit different, don't we? And you can't talk about words that come out of our mouth without going to James Oh boy, James, here we go. So let's turn to James chapter 3. James took a walk. It's not where he used to be in here. No. James chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 5.5. I know that seems weird, but that's just a nice clean break for me. So look, I wasn't lying. Don't I look smart? Don't I look smart? Oh yeah, don't show people that. That's prideful. Don't show people that. All right, so we're starting James chapter 3, starting at 5.5. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This ain't right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Wait, let me reread that. I didn't do it right. Does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Man, James, come on, brother. He just lays it right on you. I'm sorry, there's nobody in here that cannot feel a little bit of conviction from that. He says, man, blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth, and it ain't right. I mean, he's right. It's not. But man, how do I get a hold of that? How do I get a hold on that so that it doesn't happen? We come in here on Sunday morning, we're singing praises to God, and we mean it. We're genuine. I'm not saying we're fake. We mean it. And then we go home and we watch football, we watch sports, and then things come out of our mouth that shouldn't. We work on a car, we bust our knuckles, things come out, this shouldn't come out. Somebody pulls out in front of you in traffic. Man, the things that we say expose who we really are. And not only to us, but to you, to other people. To God, we don't even have to say it. He knows our hearts. The things we say exposes who we really are. And I think we really need to take an inventory of the things that we say. And we need to think about that. And then we need to determine, okay, man, I'm doing okay, but I do say these things when I shouldn't. And we got to figure out how we're going to fix that. How much more do you have to abide in Christ, in the vine, in order to start taking care of those things? Those moments where it surprises you and something just comes blurting out of your mouth. How do we get to the point where what blurts out is old darn instead of something else? How do we get to that point? What do we need to do? I can tell you one thing we can do. We can read Proverbs. Helps us to make wise choices, a disciplined life. It helps us to do what is right, just, and fair. So that's one thing we can do, right? And here's the worst news of all for us. For some of us. Most of us. All of us. Let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 6. Oh, Lucas. I want to challenge you with something. If you're reading James, I heard this at, I think it was BIC conference. Somebody said it. They said, I challenge you to read James without hearing Jesus. Wow. So I started doing that. And I'm just going to remind you what we just read. Verse 12 in James chapter 3 was, does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? We just read that. Okay. All right. On to Luke 6, 43 and 45. This is green and blue. Just so you know. Verse 43. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Boom. Where's the mic? I mean, I picture that that's probably what Jesus did. He said that and he went... I mean, he said it right there. What we say flows from what comes out of our heart. What our heart is full of is what we say, what we spew out, what we spread. Do you have a treasury of a good heart or a bad heart? Or both? So whenever I talked about this with the youth, because there's a verse in chapter 15 that talks about the heart thinks. And I'm like, the heart thinks. And so I explained to the youth what the heart is, and I'm not going to explain it to you now. Basically, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not just talking about an organ that pumps blood. Okay, it's like the central being, almost like the soul of a person. All right, so it talks about the heart thinking. So this got me thinking, what exactly is the role of our heart in our spiritual walk? Because then you read chapter 16, it talks about the mind thinking. So like, okay, now we got the heart thinking, we got the mind thinking. How's that work together? So normally in the summer, I get an opportunity to preach like 3 weeks in a row. So what I'm going to do, I decided after this, because I'm just like everybody else. I consider myself average, like, understanding of the Bible and the Word, just like everybody else in here. I fall right in the middle with most of you guys. So when I have something I don't really fully comprehend or understand and want to know more about, I'm like, well, probably other people do too. They want to know more about it, or they're going to get a better understanding. So we're going to talk about that in the summer, about the role of our heart, our mind, and our soul in our spiritual walk. We don't have time to cover it today. I have a feeling it's going to take 3 weeks, maybe 3 months, I don't know. But the fact is, what we read here is Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. So your heart exposes who you really are. That's where your words are coming from. And the Bible talks about having a hard heart or a stony heart that's impenetrable. And it talks about having a heart of flesh that God can take and mold and transform. And that's the heart we should have. But the fact is, we have like part stony and part fleshly heart. And that's why blessings and cursing come from the same mouth. Because we don't have that fully transformed heart yet. Because every single one of us need to draw closer to God. Matter of fact, if you look at James, I love the headings in this. Where's it at? So after chapter 3, what we just read, the next heading in my title is True Wisdom Comes From God. Then the next one after that is Drawing Close to God. Man, James, he got it going on. And that's probably another good place to read if we're trying to draw closer to God. If we're trying to have that fleshly heart that can be molded by God and transformed to glorify Him. It's probably a pretty good place to go. And that's what we need to do. We need to allow God. We need to put ourselves in a position, and somebody told me first service that there's a word that I use, it's not awesome, continually in every single sermon. I mean, I use that one too, but, and it's discipline. Apparently, every time I preach, I say that word, and I said, well, that's because we have a responsibility in our spiritual walk, and it's to be disciplined. And then God promises, if you're disciplined, then I'll give you fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit, self-control, is part of it, right? So we have this responsibility to be disciplined in the things that we do in order to draw closer to God and allow Him to transform us. So my plea to you today is that you will be disciplined in reading the Bible and specifically reading Proverbs the rest of the year. I know, it's a tall order. It's like saying I'm going to be at the table 6 times this week instead of 2. But listen, I promise you, it will affect you. If you don't make wise decisions, it's going to be on you. It's not because you don't know. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to do. So I'm just asking, if we will be willing to put our hearts on the line, draw closer to God, learn how to make right decisions, wise decisions, learn how to be disciplined, and allow Him to transform our hearts so that what comes out of our mouth heals instead of helps. Heals instead of hurts. That's all I got. Let's pray. God, I pray that You would stir within us an ambition, an enthusiasm to read Your Word and specifically to read Proverbs. And God, we know because we know the purpose of that book is to help us to live disciplined lives. And God, we look forward to knowing how to be disciplined. We look forward to gaining knowledge and having wisdom. God, we look forward to being able to do what is right, just, and fair. God, I pray that every person in here takes time to do that today, this week, and the rest of the year. In Jesus' name, amen.